beside the town of Nazareth in Galilee, and high above the town itself, there rises a steep cliff. And though it is some distance from the town, a person standing at the edge of that cliff may look down and see the comings and goings of the people and observe life within Nazareth. At this moment, two men stand at the edge of this cliff and stare down into the town. On their faces is the concern which comes from a close contact with danger. One of the men, thin, sharp-featured, and with probing eyes, speaks as he continues to stare at the town below him.
To look at them now, Peter, you would not think that on this day they wanted to kill.
No, Thomas. To think they laid hostile hands on the master, dragged him from the town, sought to hurl him to his death from this very spot.
Peter, remember, I asked him not to come here. I knew there would be danger.
Thomas, you should know by now he does not turn from danger.
Granted, but if one is to risk danger, should it not be for a good purpose?
Is it not a good purpose to bring his teaching here to Nazareth where he lived?
I knew they would only resent it. One cannot leave as a carpenter and return as a prophet and expect to be received. But it was even more than that. Feeling this, having a premonition of this danger, I prayed that they would accept it, that God would soften their hearts and turn aside their anger. And yet he did not. Why?
So that is what concerns you most.
What good is prayer unless one's prayers are answered? Shall I pray again, knowing that my prayers may do no good?
Thomas, am I one gifted with wisdom that I can answer questions like that?
Then I will ask the Master. It is important for me to know. For unless I know, my belief is weak. My doubts overcome everything.
Thomas, have his answers ever left you wanting? Come, we will ask him together.
Master, surely, compared to what happened to you on this day, my questions and doubts can be of little importance. But to me, they are more than food and drink. For through them, I find my way to understanding.
Thomas, he awaits your question. Ask it.
Master, some days ago you taught us in these words, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." But yet, Master, on this day I asked, I sought, I prayed. What I wanted was not given me, and what I feared most almost came to pass. Can a man pray? Can a man believe if his words avail him nothing? Tell me, Master, it is important that I know.
Master, perhaps a parable which will explain away these doubts that Thomas has.
There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary."
And so, all disputants having been heard, all questions settled, I shall declare that my court is closed for this day.
But, worthy judge, you cannot. You must not.
Indeed.
Worthy judge, my case. You must hear my complaint against my adversary.
Woman, I said that my court is closed for this day.
How long will I be forced to suffer because I cannot get justice?
Everyone receives justice here, but it takes time. You must wait your turn.
Please, sir, I am a widow, and my son and I, we have had our share of misfortune. Must we be made to suffer even more? We have become a burden on my family and my friends because of this thing.
What thing?
Worthy judge, how am I to grind my grain to make flour for my bread if I do not have two millstones?
Then someone took your upper millstone?
Yes, worthy Joachim.
And why was this done?
It was a publican, a tax collector. When my husband died, there was not enough left to pay the taxes the Romans had levied. In order to force me to pay the money, this tax collector took my millstone, knowing we cannot get along without it. Is my young son to starve because of this unjust thing.
Perhaps we can find a remedy for you. The name of the man who has done this wrong.
The publican, Ezra.
Ezra? Oh, well, I see.
Worthy judge, will you see that he's forced to return my millstone?
The matter will have to wait until tomorrow. I said before, this court will hear no more cases today.
But, sir, the facts are as I told them to you. All you have to do is give judgment.
I cannot deliver a hasty decision. I must be allowed to think this over carefully. You may come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? All right, sir. Come along, Philip.
Yes, Mother. But we'll come back tomorrow.
Of course, Philip. Tomorrow we'll get justice.
Masterful. Masterful indeed, worthy Judge Joachim. You know, Joachim, I thought the widow had you trapped there for a moment.
Ezra, what have you done this time, taking the widow's millstone? You know how despicable a thing that is considered.
Now, don't get angry, Joachim. There happens to be a good reason behind this.
Oh?
That land she has, all her husband left her. You know, Joachim, it might turn out to be a very valuable thing to own.
How so?
You know, there was always talk about considerable treasure having been buried there ever since the last invasion from the north. No one knows for sure, but it's been hinted at.
I see.
You know what it would mean if you get half of it, as usual?
You think she could be forced to sell the property?
Without the millstone, what good is the property to her? It's like a cart without an ox, like a kettle without a flame. It's no use at all. Why hold on to a farm and a house that cannot even give her flour for her bread? She's better off selling it than buying a much smaller place with what little I'll give her. At least she can get along that way.
You're right, Ezra. Of course, suppose there is no treasure there.
Then I shall turn the place into a vineyard. It will be very good for the purpose, and I've always felt I needed more land.
Aha.
Ah, you're thinking of your share. Well, don't worry. I'll see that you get enough to make it worth your while.
Good, Ezra. And when the widow comes tomorrow, I'll see that she gets justice.
Is that you, Philip?
Yes, Mother.
You went to your uncle's house? Well?
Yes. I went there.
You came back empty-handed. He refused you a measure of flour. How could he?
Please, Mother, no. He didn't refuse.
But you came back with an empty bowl.
Mother, I didn't go in.
You didn't? Why?
I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Every day for weeks now, I've gone there. I wait for Uncle Aaron, and while I'm waiting, inside me something burns. I'm no beggar, Mother. I never was.
The pride of you.
Call it pride. Call it anything you want, Mother. I can't beg. And the look on his face. The first few times, it wasn't so bad, but this past week, I can see he doesn't want to give us the flour.
Well, we can't blame him too much. He has a large enough family of his own to support.
The way he grumbles. Mother, I can't face him anymore and ask.
Philip, we can't be proud now.
When my father was alive, I never had to beg anyone for anything. But now, Mother, I can't do it.
But we've got to eat, Philip.
Maybe you should sell the farm and the house, as Ezra wants you to do.
No.
But Mother...
No, Philip, we will not sell it. At least not till we've made every last... Your father always planned that this farm would be yours one day. He used to say, a man without land is a poor man in our country. That's why he made me promise never to give up the land. Now, if you refuse to go to your uncle's, give me the bowl. I'll go.
I don't want him to look at you that way. I'll go. I'll go back. And this time I won't return without the flour.
Philip, I know how much you resent doing this. But it can't be for much longer. You heard the judge himself say to return. Tomorrow, all our troubles will be over. Philip, I promise you.
Yes, Mother. Tomorrow.
The next person seeking justice will step forward.
Mother, that means us. Yes, Philip, come.
Where the judge? We are next. You remember yesterday you said you would make a decision in my case?
Yesterday?
Mother doesn't even remember us.
Where the judge about the millstone taken by the publican Ezra for the payment of the tax? Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Well, what did you want here?
Worthy judge, please. Don't you remember? My mother told you yesterday. We need our upper millstone.
Look here, young man. You are in a court of law. You are not to speak unless I ask you to, or I'll throw this whole matter out of court.
Please, worthy judge, he's only a boy. But allow me to tell you...
I know. It seems you think you've been wronged by a publican. You say he took your millstone in payment of taxes. Well, as far as I can recall, you cited no law that would give you any rights against this man. His action is completely legal. I'm sorry I can give you no help.
But worthy judge, only yesterday...
If you will recall all that I said yesterday, you will remember that I told you I would not make any hasty decision. Now I've had my chance to think it all over, and I find that you have no redress in this court. I'm sorry.
But worthy judge...
Be still, woman!
What are we doing here? What can a man like Malachi do for us?
All I know is that he's the oldest, wisest man in our town. If anyone knows what to do, he does. Now, just sit quietly, Philip, and wait.
Yes, Mother. The way the Judge Joachim spoke to us, you would think we were criminals.
Please, Philip, he may have been in a bad mood. I'm sure it will come out all right.
But he seems so determined to find some reason to decide we were wrong.
We'll see Malachi now.
Deborah? You've come to see me?
Yes, Malachi.
Oh, then come in, my dear. Come in.
Philip, come.
Ah, let me look at you, son. David's boy. Very fine lad, Deborah. Like his father, in a way. Now then, tell me.
Well, Malachi.
Oh, come now, tears. What could be so wrong it should make you cry?
Mother, please.
Don't let her cry. When the heart flows over with troubles, it comes out in the form of tears. It's not the worst thing. Let her cry, son. You tell me.
Well, sir, our millstone was taken away by Ezra. Without it, there can be no flour, no bread. If we don't get it back, we'll be forced to sell the farm.
You took away your millstone. Did you go to the judge?
It didn't help. He said there was no law that would help people like us.
Did he indeed?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, the judge was Joachim?
Yes, sir.
Of course. There have been better judges. But if it's law he seeks, we'll give him some law. Deborah, listen to me. It's true that strictly the law allows Ezra to take your millstone. But for generations now, such an action has never been allowed to affect a widow.
What did you say, Malachi?
Strictly the law is as the judge said. But through the practice and custom, this law is never exercised against widows.
But what can I do?
You will go back to Judge Joachim.
Yes.
You tell him what I just said. He'll give you justice. In the meantime, anything you need, you may call on me for it. Just don't worry, my dear. Don't worry.
Woman, you are here again. What is it this time?
The same thing.
But I have already given you my decision.
Please, worthy judge.
Philip, no.
But, Mother, I have to speak. Worthy judge, we don't want anything we're not entitled to. We come pleading for justice. Yesterday you said we had no law on our side.
And that is right. Now you're wasting my time.
Sir, that's not the way it was explained to us.
What did you say?
Sir, I found out something. Something that makes a big difference. Something that means you must make Ezra give us back our millstone.
Indeed.
Yes, sir. Worthy judge, maybe I am wrong. But I heard that there is something more than law in such a case.
Is there?
Is it true that custom says this law is never enforced against a widow? Well, my mother is a widow. Now can't you make Ezra give back the millstone?
I don't see how.
What about custom, sir?
Custom? Ah, well, it is always so. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, since you have suddenly decided to become a student of the law, let me ask you a few questions.
Questions, sir?
Yes, my young friend who seems to be interested in the mysteries of law. How far must a judge go in carrying out custom? Is he bound to follow custom where the law is completely contrary? Is he?
Mother, I don't know what to say. Neither do I.
Well, young man, I'm waiting. Tell me, what is the answer?
Sir, I don't know.
As I thought. Well, I'll tell you the answer. No. The judge is not required to follow custom if he thinks it better to disregard it. Now be gone from my court. I do not have time to be annoyed any longer by this case. My decision is final.
Come in, Ezra. Come in.
Joachim, I don't like the way you sound.
There are many things I don't like either. That is why I sent for you. That widow, she was in court again today.
Well? Did you throw her case out?
Yes, but she's come back before, and I feel she may come back again.
Joachim, you know how to deal with such people. You've been doing it long enough.
Ezra, must you have that particular piece of land that belongs to her?
It may contain a fortune. Who knows?
And it may not. Is it worth it?
What do you mean, is it worth it? Joachim, you're not thinking of changing your mind.
That woman is going further than I thought. She comes in and then that son of hers begins quoting the law to me. It's one thing to befuddle and scare ignorant people, but when they begin looking into the law, that can be dangerous.
Joachim, it may be dangerous, but we have got to see it through.
Ezra, maybe we could make an exception of this case.
We can't.
Well, suppose she goes to the higher court in the capital of the province. There, such a case would be decided differently.
You think she would go to Tiberias to ask judgment there?
It is possible.
But hardly likely. She's a poor woman.
It's happened before in my cases. And if this comes to the attention of the judges in the higher court, I may lose my office.
You may lose it anyhow.
What do you mean by that?
You'll do as I say, or else I'll expose you.
Ezra, you wouldn't.
I have enough information on which to do it. And if you're thinking of disobeying my orders, I will do it. I believe that closes our little discussion for the moment. Now?
Malachi, what can we do now?
So Joachim chose to disregard the customs which have been built up through hundreds of years of administering justice. I didn't think he would go that far.
What do you mean, sir?
My boy, it is not good that such a thing should have happened to you in your youth. Might make you cynical of justice and law. It shouldn't. For this dishonesty you find in Joachim is not the dishonesty of the law or even of judges, but only of one dishonest man who seeks to use his office for his own selfish motives.
Then we can do nothing, Malachi.
You say he began to question the boy about the law.
Yes, sir, he did.
Well, then we must do something about that. Deborah, you will go home now.
What good can I do there?
Here you will be interfering with men's business, for we men have a great deal to talk over, eh, Philip?
Well, I don't know, sir.
I'll take an old man's word for it. We have a great deal of work to do. Deborah, first thing tomorrow,
You will be in the courtroom.
Ezra, what is going on out there?
Joachim, I don't know. That's why I came in here to see you before you took your place in the courtroom. Well, what is it? Why all those people? You haven't said anything to anyone, have you?
Not a word, but the court's never been so crowded. I don't understand it.
Open the door slightly.
What for?
Open it, I said. But be careful. Don't let yourself be seen.
All right. It's never been so crowded.
I know that. But the widow, Deborah, is she out there?
I don't see... Yes! Yes, she's there. Right down in front with that son of hers. And the old scholar, Malachi.
It's what I thought.
Ezra, why don't we forget this thing? Why don't we give her justice and be rid of her? Else she'll never let us rest.
Joachim, what I said yesterday, I haven't changed my mind. Go out there and do what you have to do. I want that piece of land.
All right, Ezra, but if this...
Go on, Joachim, unless you want to lose everything.
All right. Stand back out of the way so they can't see you. There will be silence here.
Silence! You should be ashamed.
Silence, I said! And now, the first case. Will the parties come forward?
We are the parties in the first case, Your Honor.
You?
My son, Philip, and I.
Your matter was disposed of yesterday.
No, sir.
Young man, don't you dare contradict this court.
I'm not contradicting the court, sir. But you seem to have forgotten. So, I'm reminding you of what you said yesterday.
What I said yesterday?
You asked us a question about the law and told us to go find the answer.
Well, I don't feel disposed to hear your case today. Come back some other time.
What about today?
Well, there are other cases today that deserve a hearing. They have been waiting for days.
I don't think there are, sir.
There are always other cases. I will show you. Will the next parties come forward? I said, will the next parties come forward?
You see, sir, there are no other cases.
But that's impossible.
Is it, worthy judge?
Malachi, what are you doing here?
I am here to tell you that all other litigants in this town have foregone the right to have their cases heard today, so that this widow and her son may be heard and receive justice.
They have been heard. They have received justice.
They have been heard, but I don't think that they have received justice. Neither do all our friends here in this courtroom now. We are here to see that they get their due. Go on, Philip, speak. Just as I instructed you to speak.
Go on, boy.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, boy.
Don't be afraid.
Worthy judge, we came here seeking justice. First you said the law didn't provide for us. But then we found that custom did. But you said that you didn't have to be guided by custom. Well, yesterday, I found out that isn't true.
Good man!
Oh, what is that?
Malachi here taught me that the judges of this land have always believed that justice should rule. And justice says that a widow and her children should be treated differently than others. Sir, the land my father left for me, we'll have to sell it. What he worked for. What my mother worked for. It will all be lost if we have to sell our land. Please, sir, we ask you to change your decision. To give us justice.
The boy is right.
Well, now, young man.
Joachim, even if you decide against this woman and her son today, you'll not have heard the end of this case. All her friends here in this court will fight till she is avenged of this man Ezra. I warn you. Now, what is your decision? And think carefully.
Now, see here, Malachi, don't you threaten me.
It isn't only Malachi. All of us are here to see they get justice.
All right, all right. Be still. What use to carry this mockery any further? Yes, I admit it. I've done an unjust thing. I've been an evil judge. What is coming to me I have earned. But at least my last action here will be a just one. I find that this woman is entitled
to receive her millstone from Ezra, and that he is hereby ordered to return it to her at once.
Malachi, what could we have done without you?
Please, Deborah, do not thank me. I've been repaid many times over by watching that judge squirm when faced with his own dishonest action. Philip is the one we should be proud of. You did very well, Philip.
Without your teaching, I wouldn't have been able to do anything, sir.
My boy, I hope you learned more from this experience than a little law to be used in a courtroom. In this life, you do not give up. You meet defeat, go back again and again if need be. The man who is successful the first time is lucky. The man who turns back the first time is a coward. But the man who succeeds in face of reverses, there's the man with courage, with inner strength, with real faith.
Thomas, that the master has finished his parable. Are there still doubts?
No, Peter. I know now that when the master said, seek and you shall find, he meant that it was necessary to be strong and persistent in the way we seek. That whatever it is a man seeks, if he is turned aside at the first disappointment, he will not find it.
Have you thought, Thomas, that perhaps the master will return to Nazareth again and again until they do receive him?
And so he should. For if it is worth bringing his teaching to the people of Nazareth, it is worth doing in the face of danger and disappointment. Nothing in this world is accomplished without risk. Very little can be accomplished without effort and without courage.
Another episode in the greatest story ever told from the greatest life ever lived.